5.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
We've talked to a lot of people. We've gone a lot of different places via phone on prior interviews over the years, but I've never done one quite like this. John DePietro is an independent journalist from Rhode Island, and he is in Poland near the Ukraine border. John, thanks for being on today.
Hey, Kyle, good to talk to you.
So I guess, first of all, just give us some quick information about your background in media and what you do now.
I've been a talk host for over 20 years, and then a couple of years ago, I just felt the desire to kind of go more of the independent route. So what I've been doing is there's a smaller station that basically carries my program, but I own my own program. I use all platforms, and I really take advantage of the live stream on Facebook and also on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube. And so it's a little more pressure, but I feel good about, you know, getting people that support me and believe in the program. And I've always been the type that I like firsthand accounts. I like people that are on the scene, kind of like you watch a football game, they go down to the sideline reporter. So I've always kind of had, even though I've been talk host, kind of those skills and tendencies, and I've attended trials and mob trials and political corruption trials and murders. And then during the course of the summer of 2020, I really started covering a lot of the Black Lives Matter protests. There's obviously a lot of unrest, but I've done, you know, the radio rows and the Super Bowl conventions and so forth. And you know, as much as when something like this breaks, I have found that when I can make the decision and go firsthand and cover the story, that it works for me and the listeners like it. And I also find I'll cover press conferences. So you're kind of almost like a reporter host, but I obviously have opinions. I'm not just a straight journalist, but you pick up a lot when you're there. And during this time, you know, especially the past few years, as you know, there's been just media has been changing, and there's different platforms, and a lot of people have gravitating into podcasts and playing around with different platforms. So I find that when you've done it for a while and you can make these different platforms work for you, you can provide exclusive inside information that they just can't get anywhere else.
So what led to your decision to go to Poland?
Well, it was really Zelensky. That Friday night, the war started, as you know, on the Wednesday night. And I had a lot of success, as I said, when I started to utilize Facebook Live and the live stream, especially during a lot of the protests and unrest of 2020. And the technology is there. And there's a great tool called QGo Live. So it sounds crystal clear radio-wise. And I just felt, you know, this is so out of the ordinary. It's so extraordinary. It's really in a world event. I felt I had the technology. This is a risk. And as you know, I mean, anytime you're going to do a remote, a lot can go wrong, even if it's just a simple, you know, remote in town somewhere or so anywhere away from the station, a lot of things can go sideways. So I started to feel out some of my sponsors and supporters, and everyone seemed eager about it, and I've always been pretty adventurous. The biggest problem is you don't know what you don't know, but I could just tell. I mean, I just think he is a once-in-a-lifetime generational-type leader. I really do. I don't think we've seen anyone like him in a very, very long time. I think he's like the Churchill of our generation. I've been this excited. I'm kind of a sucker for a very brave, motivating. I like people that can deliver a speech and rousing. And he's just so different, and he's got the people behind him. So I very, very quickly put together a plan and started speaking with some different people that know this part of the world. I've been to Europe and traveled to Europe and Rome and, you know, England and Scotland and Belgium and so forth. But I had never been to Eastern Europe. I, you know, like history, like a lot of people in our business. And that's when it really started to come together. And it's pretty amazing where, you know, I speak to my audience in Rhode Island and Massachusetts, and then suddenly you're right in the exact spot of reporters that you were watching just a couple of days ago, and suddenly you're right there on the Ukrainian border.
And in fact, you're very close now. Talk about where you're at. I know you've been at the border crossing a number of times, too.
Yes. I'm at it's a town called Shemel. It's the largest train stop, 10, 15 miles tops from the border, which is Mendica. If you look on a map, you could see it right there. And it is this area, Kyle, is just, as you've been saying, I mean, it's just inundated with refugees. And it's just such a fast-moving story. I just finished week two. I'm trying to remember what day it is. And just the way the tension has mounted. Because this, you know, this is, you're next to a war zone. And there's just what you would imagine. You know, there's obviously a lot of Polish troops. But I've also run into American troops. There's a big NATO base. Last week, you know, it was pretty significant. The airport I flew into is Rzeszów, Jezu, and that's the main airport that is that's the closest airport to the border. It's about 40 miles from here. It's more of a city where this is far more rural, and I mean it's more rural, and there's no Americans where I'm staying, which has kind of surprised me. I have not seen as many. I haven't actually seen any American border since I've been here. I obviously saw a few more when I was, a little bit more towards the city and near the main airport. But what's very significant is they moved the two Patriot missiles from Germany, where the United States has a big base we have since World War II. The largest concentrated population of Americans outside of the United States is actually in Germany, because that's how big our military presence there. And you hear that a lot whenever there's something in the Middle East. They always get to the main U.S. Base in Germany, hospital in Germany and so forth. But it was very significant that NATO in our country obviously decided to kind of move it up and move the two Patriot missiles to Poland, simply because, you know, the people of Poland are on edge, and they certainly, you know, Putin is the neighbor from hell, and they certainly don't want to see him take Ukraine. And then, you know, that's how this whole thing started. He's lining up his troops along the Ukraine border, and there's a lot of nervous people that are waiting to see and feel that he's got to be contained inside of Ukraine. There's a lot of panic if he actually fully takes control of Ukraine.
What about danger? Is that a factor that concerns you where you're at?
It does. To be quite honest, if I had known it was this dicey and dangerous, I probably wouldn't have come. It's more so than I thought, especially at night. The border, as you can imagine, just tracks all kinds of different individuals from all over the world. Plus, you have the foreign fighters coming in that want to, you know, sign up to fight for the Ukraine. Yesterday, I was interviewing 40 guys came in from Scotland. They've been here for 4 days. They're anxious to get into the action. It's kind of odd. I mean, President Zelensky said they'll take foreign fighters, anyone who would like to help fight and defend Ukraine. But if you just step back for a moment, what you end up getting, you know, quite candidly, is you get, if there's anybody in the world that's ever thought, hey, I think I'd like to be in a war and I'd like to shoot some of those weapons, that's who it attracts. So it's kind of like a carnival-like atmosphere. I don't know how else to describe it. I've been in New York on New Year's Eve. That's, you know, pretty crazy. And, you know, think of like your busy airport or train station, maybe like the Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. It's like that times 10. It's nonstop. It's languages from all over. There's just masses of people in. I would just say in the past 4 days, there's more of a true presence. Last night, the Russians again attacked. There's a town, Lviv. It's about 10 miles from the Poland border. And they attacked that last night. And you could, you know, they attacked it last Saturday night. And then you could see the smoke. I was talking to the Polish army at the border today. I mean, you could see the smoke. That's Western Ukraine. That's very concerning to the people of Poland for fear that, you know, maybe a missile goes astray and suddenly it lands over the border. But it's just masses of humanity pouring over. And then I would just say the past couple of days, I've noticed that the Polish troops seem to be a little more on guard. I can only speculate, but the way the troop movement is, you would almost think that they're gearing up. If there was now there's no indication of this, but it was almost like, it seems to be like almost they're preparing in case there's going to be an invasion of Poland.
Wow. And to be in the midst of this right now, how are the people in Poland coping with all the refugees coming in?
You know, that's a good question. It's hard. I mean, they're trying to help. And you have volunteers coming from all over. When I interview a number of the volunteers, I mean, they are from, you know, from England that drive here, from Germany, from Scotland, from Greece, from Brazil, from all over Europe have come to help out. But it's really interesting, Kyle, when I speak to, and I have a lot of, you know, just the locals, there was this one restaurant owner, and he said, you know, his father was telling him, his father remembers being in Poland and then the first time seeing like the Nazi boots, because, you know, the Nazis occupied Poland during the Second World War, and it's terrible. It's tragic. This is, you know, the country where the concentration camps were held, and there were a lot of them, and then you had the, you know, the Polish ghettos and so forth. So the older people that remember what it was like, this is like flashbacks for them. It's very emotional for them. They're, you know, a lot of the people, obviously, maybe they weren't alive, but their parents and grandparents told them stories of what it was like when the Germans occupied Poland starting in the late 30s and, you know, into the 40s. And there is just such a strong feeling of that Putin must be stopped. It's his war. They feel better that the Americans are here. To be quite honest with you, I was actually even surprised a little bit. Just on Monday, I went to get coffee, and I stumble upon, okay, so there's 10 to 12, you know, Army Rangers gathering somewhere, and that's different. It's close to the border. But there's definitely a feeling of some of the people, like they can't believe they may be going through this again.
Wow. And for the Ukrainians, as they're fleeing, what's that like to see their, you know, how they're doing?
You know, it's brutal, Kyle, because, you know, I'm a parent. Anyone that's listening, it's, you know, people think, and it can be stressful, first time traveling, small children on an airplane. And, you know, sometimes you see the parents flying to Disneyland, or Disney World, or wherever on a family vacation, and you know, the little young child, and they're irritated, and their ears are popping. This is another level. This is where I'm encountering, talking to, and remember, the men have stayed behind to fight the Russians. If you're a man 18 to 60, they handed you a rifle. You're fighting. You're not leaving the country. So it's a lot of mothers, grandmothers, single mothers, very small children. I interviewed a woman yesterday, quiet little stroller, just got off the train, took them 2 days to get there. Inside the stroller is an 8-week-old little baby girl. So it is, it's extreme conditions. And I'll tell you what's gripping is what they have left behind. You know, some of the people that I've interviewed, they'll show, you know, they had a beautiful home, they had a beautiful business, and their neighborhood has just been leveled. And now they have to leave. All they have is you take one bag on the train. All they have is your entire life is now in one rollable suitcase. And now they're trying to figure out what country they're now going to have to go live to, because they'd like to go back to Ukraine. They loved living in Ukraine. They have pride. They love Zelensky. The Ukrainian people are so, you know, it's such a polar difference between the way our country is, you know, obviously a lot of political division and infighting, where the Ukrainian people, absolutely, every single one of them, are behind President Zelensky. He stayed and fought. He's their leader. It's so imperative that he remain alive. He is meeting the moment. But it is, you know, the children are actually pretty well behaved. But it's bone-chilling cold, because you get the, I mean, I'm used to New England cold. This is the Arctic type of cold. The old Hogan Hero show, you used to hear about the Russian front, or anyone that studied World War II. When that sun goes down, Kyle, I mean, it feels like it's below zero. And I grew up in a place where we have cold winters and ice skating and everything else. But they're exhausted. They're in shock. They can't believe what has happened. The streets have been destroyed, leveled, seeing people killed, tanks as they're making their way to the train station, packed in. When I first went to the train station, I am telling you that it was almost like reminiscent of Schindler's List, where the trains would pull up and they're just packed, and just the people come pouring out with one suitcase and the women and children. It's draining to cover, but they also bring their dogs. I started a thread on my Twitter feed, John DeVito Show on Twitter, of all the different Ukrainian dogs that the people bring along. But it's kind of unimaginable, just because I think in our country, you know, we sometimes see the people, obviously in New Orleans after Katrina, that got displaced and went to different places, and in the hurricane season in Florida, you see the people that have to evacuate for a period of time, or, you know, different things like that. This is, someone is leveling their neighborhood. Someone is, you know, throwing bombs onto their schools, hospitals, churches, factories. These are innocent men, women, and children. They're actually very gracious individuals. These were people that were working, had their full lives just completely destroyed.
What about the aspect of, since most men in the Ukraine have been asked to stay and fight, are the women that are over in Poland, are they able to stay in communication with family members, with their spouse?
Well, that's one of the first things I've noticed they've really stepped up on, is when they come over the border, the cellular companies, they've set up like a full center. They help them stay in touch. That's one thing that, because of today compared to maybe, you know, years in the past, you know, obviously no one's writing letters. They all seem to have phones, even if they're just small, you know, burner phones. That's a concern. And by the way, not every man wants to do that. There are some that have been just hiding out that don't want to be on the front lines and don't want to have to do that. You have a lot of people that have stayed behind, and they are hiding in their basements, in their buildings. They are trying to have enough food to kind of like when there's a hurricane or a bad storm and people are kind of riding it out. So all the emergency relief agencies really have descended into this area, because of all the different countries, Poland really has absorbed the most refugees. I mean, it's well over 2 million. I believe in Warsaw, the population of Warsaw, I think, was 700,000. They already have 1 million refugees that have gone there. So as you can imagine, it's a huge drain on this system. I get the feeling that in the past, the relationship between Poland and Ukraine was maybe not a great one, but the people of Poland have really stepped up. It's actually inspiring to watch the way the West has come together and united against just a complete war criminal, murderer, dictator.
What about places to stay? I mean, when you talk about a town almost doubling in size, where are these people staying at?
It's hard. A lot of times the refugees, they stay like in a high school gym. Where I'm staying, a number of people have even left because they're nervous, because we're so close to the border. So it's an eerie feeling. Last night was the first time that Polish Army stopped me and wanted to see some identification and documents. And I'm registered through the State Department, so they do know I'm here and so forth. They did warn me about being out at night. Things just always seem a little dicer at night. Whenever you have situations of military, you know, long rifles, long guns, it just sets up a tense atmosphere. And quite frankly, the foreign fighters make me the most uncomfortable because they are, you know, they're not necessarily militarily trained. They're more maybe they have some military experience, or maybe they've never been involved in combat, but they're very gung-ho. So the fact that they're into the mix, it sets up, it's a very stressful atmosphere, to put it mildly.
Any idea how long you plan to stay?
You know, I don't know. It's fluid. It's more tiring than I thought. I have three children. My family checks in on me constantly, and I try to assure them that, you know, I'm in a safe place. I'm doing this safely. I'm a little concerned that, especially the bombing getting close to, you know, Western Ukraine. I plan to go to Ukraine tomorrow. You just have to be flexible with it. I mean, obviously, something that gets everyone's attention, Kyle, is just the threat of Putin that he may use a nuclear weapon in the capital. And you know, I don't know what happens after that. Quite frankly, the language barrier is very difficult. I manage the best I can. Google Translate, you know, it is effective. I can get done what I need to. But it's transportation can be very difficult simply because, you know, picture like a bunch of fans piling into, I think of, you know, I lived in New York, and on the night of a Yankee game, the subways would be packed with Yankee fans all packing in the subway going up to the Bronx. It kind of reminds me of that almost. I mean, it's just the transportation, it's a challenge. It is a challenge. I know everyone says, oh, everyone speaks English over there. Yeah. Maybe English is like, they can say, hello, you know, you're from America, like that. But it doesn't go much farther than that. It's tough. This is rough. I feel for them. I am not complaining. What they are going through is much, much worse. If things ever got really bad, or I felt things were going to turn, I would probably get on a train and go to Germany.
John, we're out of time for right now. John DePietro joining us from Poland by the Ukraine border on Inside Douglas County.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.